Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, and we will be looking ahead to conference championship weekend in college football. Cannot believe that we are here already. We are always, by the way, presented by BetOnline.ag. You know, this is really the first weekend a lot of you won't even have a team having a game. Their regular season's over if you're a fan of a particular FBS team. Oh. So that means it's time to make the games a little more interesting. If you don't get a chance to watch your team anymore, make it interesting by going to BetOnline.ag. Using the promo code PODCAST1, you get a 50% welcome bonus, which is pretty awesome. So, all right, Fran, there's a lot to get to. He, of course, Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles, their video and scouting guru. Encourage you to check him out on Twitter, at FDuffy3. There's a lot to get to in terms of Senior Bowl announcements, previewing the conference championship games, etc. For those of you that might be new to the show, I'm Ross Tucker, a former NFL offensive lineman. Got a bunch of different podcasts available now over at rostucker.com, including this one. You can hit me up on social media pretty much everywhere, at Ross Tucker NFL. But let's start, Fran, with what we saw this past weekend. And in particular, always a lot of pro prospects in Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah, because, you know, there were some good games this weekend. Obviously, it was a big weekend in college football, rivalry weekend. You know, obviously, there was the long Texas A&M LSU game. We had, the Apple Cup on Friday night. We had Oklahoma, West Virginia Friday night. I watched a decent amount of the Iron Bowl. But, you know, really a lot of my focus was on that, the Ohio State, Michigan game. And honestly, it was a little bit of a disappointing game overall, unless you're a Buckeye fan, because it was kind of sloppy early on both sides. And then it turned into a boat race in the second half. And I know a lot of people want to pump up Dwayne Haskins right now, and rightfully so. The kid's been super productive. He had like 7 touchdowns against Maryland last week. He had a bunch of touchdowns this week against Michigan. But I just kind of think, and there's no denying the kid's talent, but let's just pump the brakes a little bit when talking about him, as, you know, he needs to declare and he would be a top 10 pick, a top 15 pick. The kid's a redshirt sophomore. He just started his 12th game in college football. I believe we talked about this a few weeks ago, Ross, but it's crazy to me how quickly people are quick to, you know, anoint these quarterbacks these days. You know, we all wanted Cardale Jones to declare for the draft after 3 starts a couple of years ago. People were quick to do it with Jarrett Stidham this summer, or even Jeremy Johnson at Auburn before that. And I'm not saying Haskins is either of those guys, and I hate to sound like I'm a stick in the mud, but just want to relax a little bit on saying he needs to come out. He could be that guy, and he'll go top 10, top 5 if he declares for the draft right now and goes into 2019. You know, I'd love to see Haskins at least go back for at least one more year and see what he can do. But, you know, obviously was very, very productive in this game, made some really nice throws down the field. The one guy that I was really impressed with was the wide receiver, Paris Campbell, the senior. 6 catches, 192 yards, 2 touchdowns. You saw that speed with him in the open field with yards after catch. He's going to be a really interesting evaluation because I don't think he's a true deep threat. You know, he hasn't proven to be that on film. Obviously, he can run. He's not a proven route runner in the middle of the field either. So, you know, people are going to be quick to say, oh, he's a slot guy at the next level. But I think that will be a transition for him as well. To me, he's a guy, just get the ball in his hands, because you can't teach his speed. He's got fairly good size as well. It's kind of like DJ Chark last year out of LSU, but maybe even to a lesser extent, because even with Chark, you saw examples of him being used consistently down the field in the vertical passing game. Campbell, you just can't say that to this point. And you know, while he's better with the ball in his hands than Chark was last year, in my opinion, I think that it's going to be a very interesting evaluation there, you know, with Paris Campbell, because teams are going to see, look, this guy's got game-breaking speed. What can he be for our offense? He could be a really interesting complementary piece. How high is that going to place him in this draft? How are teams going to value him, even though he's not super polished in some of those other areas and proven in some of those areas? That's why I'd love to see Paris Campbell go down to the Senior Bowl and just see what he can do down the field vertically. How's he going to do in those one-on-ones and team periods? That's going to be very, very interesting to see for me with Paris Campbell. But his teammate there in the receiving corps, K.J. Hill, I thought really stood out once again in this game. He's had a number of big catches over the course of the last month or so. So he was really impressive. And then I thought Mike Weber, the junior running back, ran pretty hard for Ohio State as well in this game. He was their leading rusher and a guy that a lot of people think could declare for the draft. So a lot of interesting notes from that game. And I know you watched, obviously you were doing the Louisiana Tech-Western Kentucky game Saturday, but you saw some of the Oklahoma-West Virginia game as well. What were some of your takeaways from that game?
Well, I'll just add to this to what you said, Fran. I guess it's funny because I look at it from a player's perspective, and I think from a player's perspective, Cardell Jones probably would have been better off if he declared for the draft after those three games. Stidham might have been better off if he had declared before this year, and I don't know. You know, Dwayne Haskins could come back next year and be terrific and light it up and win the Heisman and be number one overall pick or whatever, like Andrew Luck or something. Or, you know, he could have more film and more ability for people to dissect his game and expose his flaws, whatever those may be. And maybe he doesn't go till later like a Matt Barkley or even till pick 10 like Matt Leinart, who I think a lot of people thought would have gone higher if he had left the year before. So it's interesting. I think you're right in terms of development and how many games they've played, but I guess I look at it strictly from a market value standpoint, right? And, you know, trying to maximize. Like, how much better can Dwayne Haskins play next year?
I just think it's a matter of perception. Like, I think that we see it from the outside, from a media standpoint, and we're really quick to say, oh man, like this guy threw for 7 touchdowns last week. He threw for 7 again this week. Like, you know, if he comes out, like he's going to go so high. I just like to temper my expectations because, you know, without getting into the film, again, people thought that about Jared Stidham last year, right? Like he was in all those early mock drafts as a top 10 pick. You watched him over the summer. I watched him over the summer. I did not see a guy that people will say, oh, yeah, this guy's a top 10 pick. And I feel if he had entered last year's draft, the draft process would have unfolded and those things would have, you know, the NFL teams would have seen the same thing. And I think that that's how he would have been drafted accordingly. I don't think if Stidham had come out, he would have been in that group last year with, you know, Baker Mayfield and Darnold and Rosen and all those guys at the top of round one. I think that when it comes to especially that position, experience is so vital. Live game experience is so vital. And so it's just the kind of where that perception meets reality kind of thing. I'd be very interested. And we obviously don't know the answer because we you know, there's no way to actually to be able to tell how this would play out. But, you know, with Haskins, like, it's a valid question. How much better is he going to get? We don't know what the scheme's going to look like next year, who's going to be coaching him and all that. But, you know, to me, I just think that experience, number one, on the field, but also being the guy. I mean, he's still young. Is he even 21 yet? Like, to be the guy in the locker room for another full season, I think that's also just so integral to future success as well. To me, I would just love to see this young guy, a quarterback, like a guy that's got 12 starts, I'd love to see him just go back and just further that experience, continue to build on that resume.
As for Oklahoma, West Virginia, I can't get over, Fran, and I'm not like a defensive guru. I played O-line. I just can't get over. And I know there's more scoring at every level of play, high school, college, NFL. You see more scoring. It's hard to play defensive football right now with the way teams are being stretched horizontally, vertically, with the conflict they're putting defenders in. I get it. Like, it's hard to be good on defense. But, Fran, it almost feels like it's hard to be as bad as these teams are on defense. I mean, watching that game, and really what it comes down to is nobody really gets stops. It's just more about the turnovers. And I guess that was kind of my concern with Will Grier in the game. He made some great throws. He did a nice job. He throws a really pretty fade ball. I like his anticipation. But he just had some turnovers that you just can't have. And it prevented them the one strip sack fumble for a touchdown. I mean, that was essentially the difference in the game. They went down two scores then, and they weren't able to come back. So that was a critical error in their biggest game of the year. And that's, I think, the week before there was stuff like that against Oklahoma State as well, right?
Yeah, he's had an issue with bad sacks all year. Like, even when they're putting up boatloads of points, he's getting sacked like five times. And that's, the offensive line there is pretty good. I mean, we've talked about those two tackles, and they've got I know they've got issues inside, the kind of moving pieces around, but you know, they've got players. And to me, like, I think that his presence holding on to the football is, you know, his poise, and not even necessarily his poise, but just his awareness in the pocket leaves a lot to be desired. That's certainly, it's almost watching the Big 12 though, Ross. It's almost a different sport, right? Like, you could watch like an SEC game, or you are outside of Texas A&M LSU when their both teams are in the 70s, but you can watch a game in the SEC or the Big 10 and then turn on Oklahoma, West Virginia, and it's not the same game.
You're totally right. As for Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech has a D-end in Emmanuel Turner, who we didn't really mention last week.
No.
That he played well. Jalen Ferguson, obviously, though, is the big name. There's some talk about first or second round for him. I will say this, very impressive-looking kid on the hoof. I mean, 6'5", 265, long arms, very powerful, uses his hands well. You know, what was weird about this game, he wasn't overly productive. I think he only had a half a sack. They gave him a sack and a half, but one was a quarterback draw, so they ended up changing that. You know what he did that was interesting is, first of all, early in the game, they were blocking a man-to-man, and he wasn't getting any pressure. But then he started to just bull rush. He's very powerful. I mean, he just was knocking the tackle back. But then he wasn't disengaging to make the play on the quarterback or the football, and so the quarterback would slide, and Ferguson's just bull rushing the tackle back like 10 yards, but the quarterback's sliding and delivering the football. So I'll be very curious. I think he's going to the Senior Bowl. I know he is. I'll be really curious to see how he does there and what people think of him. I do think the physical ability is there. I think he's a 4-3 DN, not a 3-4 outside backer. And I think he's got the physical tools there. I guess I just, at least in the game, I was looking for a little bit more. I was wanting a little bit more. By the way, if you want a little bit more in terms of like a free Madden, I only have two more free Madden video games I'm giving away on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. All you have to do is go to rostucker.com, scroll down on the homepage, you get to the Amazon banner ads, click on yours, whether it's UK or Canada or US. And I know a lot of you are already making, you know, orders already for the holidays anyway. So, boom, go ahead and make your purchase going through our banner ad. Bookmark that page. Send it to me, Ross, at rostucker.com, and you're automatically entered to win this week's Madden. We also, Fran, have a bunch of Senior Bowl news.
Oh, yeah.
Including, you know, some names we broke down last week that have officially accepted. Guys like Jalen Moore, Foster Moreau, Kaminsky, Josh Allen, Omenihu, Terrell Hanks, Nasir Adderley. There's some other guys that we didn't really cover last week, and we can start with Penn State quarterback Trace McSorley.
Yeah, and obviously, look, McSorley's been the starter there for a handful of years now, and we kind of get an idea of what he is as a college player. You've seen him a lot more than I have, Ross. So I'd like to get your thoughts more on McSorley and just how you feel he'll fare in the game. I know Jim Nagy had a really interesting comment on Twitter about him, and that's the executive director of the Senior Bowl. He feels like McSorley's such a gamer. He feels like he would not be surprised if he ended up being the MVP of the game late in January.
Well, that's a good way to describe him. You know, it's just, I mean, he weighs like 195 pounds. They said he finally got to 200 this year. And, Fran, he's never missed a game. And he has taken, over the last 3 years, so many vicious shots. I mean, this year, they've really run him into the ground. I mean, they've struggled a little bit offensively this year at times. His receivers have not played very well. There's been a lot of drops. So they've run him a lot this year. I mean, a lot. So I think he's an NFL quarterback in sort of the modern era sense, right? Like I picture him being a backup for a guy like Deshaun Watson or Marcus Mariota or someone like that. He doesn't have their physical traits, size, speed. He does have a strong arm. I actually talked to him a little bit before the Wisconsin game and watched him throw. He has a pretty strong arm, but I also don't know that he's been as consistently accurate as you'd like. So I expect him to get drafted. I think a lot of it will depend on how he does, you know, at his pro day and at the Senior Bowl to say whether that's, you know, I don't know, second or third round, somebody falls in love with him, or seventh round. I'll be really curious.
Yeah, I kind of think it would be more the latter, but.
Yeah, I would agree. What about Northwestern quarterback Clayton Thorson? We'll get a chance to see him not only in the Senior Bowl, but we'll see him against Ohio State this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a big test for him, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. But, you know, this is a big kid. I would say overall with his arm talent, and that includes, you know, velocity and, you know, how far he's able to throw the ball, but then also his accuracy and ball placement. I think when you look at Clayton Thorson, it's probably below average with the arm talent overall, but I think his traits across the board are good enough that he should be drafted and he'll stick in the league as a backup and potentially as a spot starter down the line. You know, he's not an anticipation thrower right now. He can get a little bit stuck on those initial reads at times. I think there are tools there, though, that you can kind of work with, but he's just more of a backup long term. I've watched four games from this year, so I'm excited to kind of see him in person because, you know, he'll make a throw every once in a while that makes you say, whoa, but, you know, then you have these three clunkers after that. So consistency, that's something that I'll be looking for in Mobile. And then obviously just with all these guys live and you talk with scouts and they'll talk about skill position players, that's most important to see those guys live is what is their legit speed? What does their speed look like? Do they have that extra twitch? Do they have that extra gear? And then also quarterbacks, just how the ball comes out of their hands. And so that'll be big with all these guys.
Next up, we got Ryan Finley from NC State.
Yeah, Finley is kind of the opposite of Thorson in some ways where, you know, Thorson is more high variance and can be a little bit all over the place. But, you know, I view Finley as more of just a steady Eddie at quarterback. He's a timing and rhythm passer, doesn't have top end arm talent. But I don't think that, you know, this is a guy that you're going to put a lot on and he's going to shoulder the load as your quarterback. But I do think that he can manage games. And I do think you can win with a guy like that. I just view him more as like a long-term backup than as a long-term starter. And I think that there was some buzz with him over the summer that was just a little bit unrealistic as one of the, you know, the best quarterbacks in the country. He is that. I just don't think that you're viewing him as, you know, this first round pick, a second round pick, but I do like the player. I like Finley. I like the way he plays. You just got to temper the expectation a little bit.
What about UMass wide receiver Andy Isabella?
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of buzz in the last month or so, and I watched him for the first time a couple of weeks ago. I got to say, I was pretty impressed and intrigued by this kid. He's small. There's no question there. Size will be an issue for him, but, you know, he's quick as lightning. And not only is he quick, but he's also pretty explosive too. You know, the kid's got some juice to work vertically. He's got some savvy to him as a route runner. I think he can create his own separation. Play strength is a bit of a concern. His hands are also a bit of a concern, and he's kind of the classic example of the difference between hands and ball skills because I think he plays the ball well in the air. I think he tracks it well over his shoulder down the field. He can track it mid-flight and adjust. He just has some double catches on film that do give me a little bit of pause about, you know, consistently finishing at the catch point. You know, that being said, I would much rather have a guy with subpar hands than subpar ball skills because I think one is correctable. I think you can improve your hands. I don't know that you can correct ball skills. Some guys would argue that. I don't know that that's something that, you know, you can improve without a lot of reps at that. So, I like Isabella. I do think he's going to play in the league for a long time. I'm excited to see him down in Mobile.
Mississippi State center Elgston Jenkins.
Yeah, this kid's just rock solid. He's a well-built interior guy. He's got starts at four of the five offensive line positions throughout his college career. So he spent the last 2 years at center, but you love that versatility. But this kid is pretty nimble, too. He's never on the ground. He's really strong. He's stout. He's tough to move. I wish there was a little bit more of a mean streak to him in the way he plays, but an intriguing guy. I'm excited to see him continue to develop, especially physically in that lower half, learn to generate a little bit more power in the run game. But he's long. He's got pretty good feet. He's going to go relatively high, probably not first round. I think that's probably a little bit rich, but I think he'll probably be a day two pick in this draft.
Speaking of O-linemen, I'm looking forward to watching Boston College O-lineman Chris Lindstrom.
Yeah, and you should, because he's a fun watch. He's an NFL lineman for sure. You know, through and through, this guy's going to play in the league. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I think really the matter is he a starting player or is he a swing backup? Because, you know, he's another guy who has experience both the tackle and guard. He's got 34-inch arms. I think he can play outside in a pinch, but I do like him more on the inside. He's a nasty SOB, man. He plays against you like you kicked his dog in the previous snap. He uses his hands well both in the run game and the pass game. I do like Lindstrom. It's just a matter of, all right, is this guy a starter in the NFL, or is he more, you know, like a high-end backup? So that'll be the thing I'm looking to get answered as I continue to finish my evaluation on him.
Some more O-linemen. Charlotte O-lineman Nate Davis, NC State O-lineman Garrett Bradbury.
Yeah, so I didn't watch Davis at all up until this weekend. You know, he's a four-year starter there for the 49ers. He's 6'3", 305 pounds, a little bit squatty, but you know, this kid's got a good-looking bubble, man. He's built like an NFL starter. He's got some natural power to move people up front. He looks like a natural knee bender. He looks to finish people. He's a nice athlete. His lack of length will be a concern for some people. I mentioned that squatty frame. He's a little bit wild with his hands. Those are my primary concerns, but I like him. I think he's got starting potential. I'm excited to watch more and just see how he compares to some of these other defensive linemen that are going to be down there in Mobile in one-on-ones. And then you mentioned Bradbury. He's one of the guys, honestly, that they've announced for the game that I just haven't seen much at all. I know that there are some that are really, really high on this kid. He's a former tight end that they've converted to the offensive line. He's about 6'3", 300 pounds, so he's a little bit undersized. I'm excited to get to his film now because I've heard a lot of people speak very, very highly of him.
All right, now what about Boston College DN Zach Allen? That's a guy I like. I'm looking forward to watching him more. But just from what I had seen so far of him in some Friday night games or whatever, I thought he looked pretty darn good.
Yeah, and I mean, when you're talking about Allen, so much of today's game up front on defense is about guys that can line up inside and outside and give defensive coordinators that kind of versatility getting after the quarterback. And I think Allen can be one of those guys. He's long. He's a good run defender. He's stout on the edge. He uses his hands well. I think his pass rush potential really is just that. I think it's potential right now. He hasn't quite put everything together there, but for an edge rusher, you know, this is the guy I think that can line up, give you run down or run support on early downs and then slide inside. Obviously, he's not that explosive first step guy that Harold Landry was a year ago, but I like Allen. He's going to play in the league. My guess right now is that he's a first round pick in April.
Old Dominion edge rusher O'Shane Jimenez.
So this is one of the guys that I watched in the summer that athletically, I had questions about. He's not really fluid or explosive. His motor left me wanting a little bit, but he uses his hands really well. He's got a very defined plan of attack against offensive tackles. He's been productive in Conference USA. He's strong in the run game. He can hold his ground as an edge setter. I'm excited to see him up close and, you know, just how he looks like from an athletic standpoint against some of the big boys.
Auburn D tackle Dontavius Russell.
Yeah, he was announced on Monday, and we talked about him a few weeks ago. He feels like one of those guys who's been on campus for like 100 years. He's a four-year starter there for Auburn, multiple defensive schemes. He's lined up everywhere along that defensive line. He's 6'2". He's over 320 pounds. I think he uses his hands well, and he offers some swing versatility as kind of an interchangeable nose and three technique. I just don't see a guy with plus athletic traits or overall upside as a pass rusher, so I think that's going to kind of knock him a little bit. I don't think he'll be viewed as a three-down player at the next level, so therefore I don't think he's going to be that high of a draft pick.
Let's get to some linebackers. Jermaine Pratt from NC State, Drew Tranquil from Notre Dame, and Chase Hansen from Utah.
Yeah, and there's some similarities with all three of these guys. Let's start with Pratt from NC State. We talked about him over the summer. This is a pretty intriguing guy. Only 1 year as a starter. He was a backup last year behind three seniors for the Wolfpack, but he still finished fourth on the team in tackles in 2017. He's got NFL size at 6'3", 240 pounds. He's a former safety, so there's that background playing in space, but he's also a physical downhill player. I'm really excited to not just watch more of him as a senior this year, but also get to see him in person and get eyes on his body type and how he'll last in the league, because I thought he had starting traits as a Mike linebacker. And then you get to Drew Tranquil from Notre Dame. He's another guy, safety background, made that transition to linebacker a year ago, could have entered last year's draft, but decided to go back with one more year of eligibility. I've talked with people that cover that program, Ross, and they say that he's a phenomenal kid, everything you want off the field. I've also heard from other people that he's a dynamite special teams player. So that's something that will serve him well. Anytime you have guys that check boxes off the field, have good size, good athleticism, and can play special teams, he's going to go pretty high. I mean, he's not going to go first, second round, I don't think. But in that third, fourth, fifth round area, I think that's where you're looking for a guy like Drew Tranquil because he's got a high floor. And then Chase Hansen, he's another one of those guys. I mean, he began his career at safety. All three of these guys started their careers at safety, made the switch to linebacker, spent that extra year of eligibility on campus, kind of honing his craft. I haven't studied Hansen yet, but he's on my radar. He's been on my watch list now for a long time, going back to his days as a safety. So I'm interested to kind of see him up close.
I know we've talked about Penn State quarterback Amani Oruwariye recently. Yep. We've also done the same with Temple cornerback Rakia Sin. What about Washburn quarterback Corey Ballantyne, cornerback?
Yeah, and I watched the kid over the weekend. I watched two games. I was pretty intrigued. You know, he's a smooth athlete. He's got silky hips. He can turn and run. He can change direction with ease. You know, he's got good hands. He can finish at the catch point for interceptions. You know, this was a big-time track guy in high school, you know, so he's got that background. I don't think he necessarily sees things as quickly as he should at this point, and things will only get faster for him in the NFL, but the traits are there. He's got a big opportunity to show up down there, much like what we talked about last week with John Kaminsky. Good opportunity here for Ballantyne to kind of show out against the top-level competition.
And a couple safeties, Utah safety Marquise Blair, I don't remember you talking about him, and Mississippi State safety Jonathan Abram, I feel like you've talked about 20 times.
Yeah, I like Abram a lot. He's one of my favorite safeties in the country. You know, and this is a guy that's got all the athletic traits to be just a dude in the secondary. I mean, I liked him a lot over the summer. You know, mentally, there are some questions with me off the junior film. Didn't always take great angles. Didn't always seem to see things as quickly as he could have. But this is a guy with high upside. People are looking for guys with his kind of traits. So keep an eye on Jonathan Abram. But Marquise Blair, I watched him for the first time a little bit ago. I actually didn't know anything about him until Jim Nagy actually brought him up to me over on the Journey to the Draft podcast. And Blair, he's a little bit light. You know, he's under 200 pounds. Some say he's under 190 pounds. But don't let that fool you, man, because this guy can hit. He's one of the most ferocious safeties in the country. He's really physical. He's a striker as a tackler. He's not afraid to mix it up. You're an old-school Eagles fan, Ross, and this is kind of in your wheelhouse. I wrote this over the weekend. And I only say this because I've gone back and I've studied film of guys from this era. But he kind of has an Andre Waters vibe to him, like with the way that he's built, the way that he plays. Like, he's a fun player to watch. He's a little bit of a throwback from that standpoint, but he's not a stiff athletically either. So don't get me wrong. It's not like he's just a box guy. He's not a supreme athlete, but I think he moves well enough to play in that deep part of the field. I like Marquise Blair. His mentality, kind of made him an early favorite of mine.
Nice. All right. Yeah, Andre Waters, man. Haven't heard that name in a while. What about the East-West Shrine Game, NFLPA game? I know they're starting to make some announcements of the guys that are playing in their games as well.
Yeah, we're not going to dive too deep into the weeds, but, you know, with the East-West game, they some names that really intrigued me. Maryland running back Ty Johnson has some kick return ability, can be a change of pace guy. We talked a little bit about UMass running back Marquise Young coming into the season. He was one of the bigger name positions outside of the Power 5 at running back. Toledo wide receiver Cody Thompson's been on my radar for a long time, a big kid who can run a little bit. Two tight ends from the SEC that really intrigued me. Missouri's Kendall Blanton, who's kind of like a prototype Y player. It gets overshadowed a little bit in that offense, but I kind of like Kendall Blanton. He can block a little bit. He's kind of reliable at the catch point and not a great athlete, but a guy that can do some things for you. I liked Kendall Blanton. And then Kentucky tight end CJ Conrad is kind of similar. 4-year starter. He's a big time recruit. I liked Conrad. He's a little bit undersized, you know, in terms of like his height and his length, but he's pretty reliable at the catch point. He's pretty fluid. He gets after it as a blocker. He can do a lot of different things for them in the run game. I liked Conrad. South Carolina guard Zach Bailey will be down there. Kansas defensive tackle Daniel Wise has announced that he's going to go. And I think Wise is a Senior Bowl player. Like, I loved Daniel Wise over the summer. So, to me, right now, he's the number one prospect going to that East-West game. game. Kentucky corner Derek Beatty got announced as well. He was one of my favorite corners from the summer. He would be another guy I would say is right in that role as probably one of the best players that's going to be down there in St. Petersburg. And then Temple safety Delvin Randall, who has flashed every time I've watched the Owls this year. And then NFLPA game, Stanford running back Bryce Love has been announced. We'll see if he gets that Senior Bowl invite. That would be really interesting if Bryce Love is only at the NFLPA game. Two tight ends there as well. Thomas Sweeney from Boston College, Matt Sokol from Michigan State. Both those guys kind of prototype Y players, you know, inline players that can get after it as blockers. Small school guy, Elon, offensive tackle, Oli Udo, big-bodied kid who kind of gets after it in the run game. Keep an eye on that kid. Morgan State tackle, Josh Miles, a left tackle, didn't play as a junior last year due to academics, but Miles is an intriguing kid. He's got light feet. He's a big kid from the FCS level, so keep an eye on Josh Miles. Nevada pass rusher Malik Reed, we'll see if he plays linebacker or defensive end down there at the NFLPA game. Clemson linebacker Kendall Joseph, a lot of people are really high on that kid, athletic player. Stanford's Elijah Holder, Northwestern's Montre Hardage. I would be surprised if Hardage doesn't get the call up to the Senior Bowl as well. Now, some of these names were announced for both games, which was interesting. You know, I know none of those guys, you know, Matt Sokol, Sweeney, a couple of those guys were announced for both games. They take place at the same time, so obviously guys can't play for both games. So once those guys hire agents, they'll kind of help decide which game they'll go to. But interesting to see some of those names start to roll out.
Yeah, we also are having a bunch of juniors declaring for the draft. Ole Miss wide receiver DK Metcalf, Michigan DN Rashawn Gary, Arizona State wide receiver N'Keal Harry, Florida safety Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Any surprises there to you, Fran? I mean, most of those guys we kind of anticipated would, right?
Yeah, Metcalf, I guess, is only slightly surprised just because of the neck injury, and that's kind of the big wild card there. We'll talk about these guys a little bit more in depth next week with a little bit less to talk about. Gardner-Johnson, I guess, was a little bit intriguing as well. We'll get into those guys next week, I think, more in depth.
Well, now it's time to go head-to-head. Before we go head-to-head, by the way, and look at the top matchups this weekend in the conference championship games, a friendly reminder that you can place a wager on any of these games or any NFL games, or even after the season, you can start to play some draft wagers over at betonline.ag using the promo code PODCAST1. You get a 50% welcome bonus. So we're running out of college football games for this year for you to give it a try on. So if you've been on the fence, I don't know. I don't know if I want to bet on a game or not. Well, your opportunities are dwindling, and we have a pretty cool opportunity this weekend with the conference championship games. BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1. Let's go head-to-head.
Head-to-head.
Alabama, Georgia, SEC championship. I will be there. Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship. Clemson, Pitt for the ACC title. Ohio State, Northwestern in the Big 10. Utah versus UW Washington out in the Pac 12. What do we got in terms of quarterbacks versus top defenses?
Yeah, we talked earlier about Clayton Thorson from Northwestern. Big test for him this week against Ohio State and that defense. I know that they've been up and down, and you know, we know that they're not the greatest unit that the Buckeyes have ever fielded, but still have some NFL talent. You know, up front, Chase Young, the true sophomore defensive end, looks like a guy who's going to be a force for them moving forward. Draymond Jones has got a really intrigues me inside at defensive tackle. So watch those guys getting after Thorson, Damon Arnett, and Kendall Sheffield, corners that have been a little bit up and down, but you know, NFL people have their eyes on moving forward. So big test there for Clayton Thorson. On the other side, you've got Dwayne Haskins going up against the Northwestern defense that has some talent as well. At the second and third level, you know, you look at linebacker, the senior Nate Hall and the junior Patty Fisher, certainly a couple guys to keep an eye on in this game. And then the senior corner, Montre Hardage, I mentioned earlier, going to the, I believe, to the East-West Shrine game. So keep an eye on those guys on Saturday. And then Friday night, MAC championship game, Ross. You got Buffalo, Northern Illinois. You saw Buffalo quarterback Tyree Jackson. Big test for him against this Northern Illinois defense. They can get after the quarterback. Look at that pass rusher, Sutton Smith, a little bit undersized for the Huskies, but a guy that certainly can get after it. We'll see what he can translate to in the NFL.
Looking forward to checking that one out Friday night for sure. How about running backs versus linebackers?
Yeah, we've got that Pac-12 title Friday night as well. And, you know, you got Myles Gaskin, who had a big game last week in the Apple Cup against Wazoo, going up against this Utah defense. And Utah's got players at all three levels, but keep an eye on Marquise Blair for all the reasons we talked about earlier. Like I said, he is a throwback guy. He plays both free safety and strong safety, depending on the game. So we'll see if he's kind of up near the box against Washington and if he plays more in Gaskin's grill, and we'll see how that matchup turns out. But that's one to watch Friday night. And then we'll look at the SEC title game, Ross, the game that you're doing. You've got Damian Harris, one of my favorite running backs in the country, going up against Georgia, that front seven, obviously that defensive line, but also at linebacker. Keep an eye on Natrez Patrick. The senior was a backup last year. He's athletic. He can play downhill. He's a fun guy to watch because of the traits. Really, the big question with Patrick has just been off the field. But on the other side, Alabama's got to stop that Georgia run game. DeAndre Swift, Elijah Holyfield, those guys that will be eligible for 2020 draft. You look at Alabama and, you know, that front seven, Mack Wilson is just so explosive. He stood out a couple of times against Auburn in the Iron Bowl. And then Dylan Moses, I think he's a finalist for the Bednarik Award, true sophomore linebacker, another former five-star recruit. Watch out for all those guys there in that game. And then real quick in the Big Ten game, Mike Weber, you know, the running back from Ohio State, mentioned how he looked going up against this Northwestern linebacking corps. I mentioned Fisher Hall, an interesting matchup there as well.
Wide receivers, tight ends against some DBs in these games?
Yeah, so we've got a bunch of the conference title games, obviously, but then we also have some makeup games, you know, some weather replacement games and things like that. So we've got Marshall against Virginia Tech. Good opportunity here for Marshall wide receiver Tyree Brady, a guy you saw in person a few weeks ago, Ross, big-bodied kid who can go up and get it. Big matchup against this Virginia Tech defense. Yeah, they've been a little bit down as well. But you look at that secondary, there's going to be NFL players coming out of that down the road. So Tyree Brady, big matchup for him. Then we'll get back to the championship games here. Alabama wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, all those guys can all run. They're all pretty crisp route runners going up against this Georgia secondary, namely the senior corner, DeAndre Baker. I guarantee you when scouts go to watch Baker later in the spring, really when GMs and head coaches go to watch him, this will be one of the first games they turn on, is how did he look against Alabama in that passing game. So big test here for DeAndre Baker. And then in the Big Ten, Paris Campbell, KJ Hill, how those Ohio State receivers look against Northwestern corner Montre Hardage. Again, big test there for Montre Hardage. We'll see how he can show up in this game.
Finally, O-line, D-line, what do you got for me?
Yeah, Oklahoma's got a really talented offensive line. So in that Big 12 game, keep an eye on that defensive line for Texas, which you got the Breckenhager. I had one defensive end spot. Charles Omenihu, who we talked about last week, going to the Senior Bowl. He lines up both inside and a little bit, or he lines up mostly outside and a little bit inside as well. So keep an eye out for reps where he can get matched up with Drew Samia from Oklahoma. Really athletic offensive lineman. Has played both tackle and guard. He's the right guard now for the Sooners, protecting Kyler Murray. So keep an eye on Drew Samia, the right guard in this game against Charles Omenihu at times for Texas. Then we'll go to the SEC, that Georgia-Alabama game. We know all the talented guys that are going to be there in the trenches. For Georgia, watch the center, Lamar Gallard, a guy that I haven't studied yet, but whenever I watch Georgia, this guy seems to flash and just kind of gets after it. It wasn't really talked about coming into the season, kind of similar to the kid from last year from Georgia. He ended up going in the first round. I think Gallard, you know, maybe not going to go that high, but I think you can kind of see, you know, an opportunity where this could be a chance for him to really prove himself against guys like Quinnen Williams and Raekwon Davis and Isaiah Buggs, that whole Alabama defensive front. Good opportunity here for all those guys on the Georgia offensive line. And then conversely, you know, for Alabama, Jonah Williams at left tackle, Ross Pierschbacher, a nice solid player at center, Lester Cotton at guard. How are those guys going to look against DeAndre Walker and Jonathan Ledbetter, you know, Hayes and all the rest of those guys for Georgia? It's going to be a really interesting matchup in the trenches on both sides of the ball. I'm excited to watch this game on Saturday night, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to be all over watching at least their last games, too, and checking these guys out on tape. You can always follow Fran, everything he's got going on Twitter, at FDuffy3. He is the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Of course, tomorrow's always a big day. The Even Money podcast, Fantasy Feast podcast. Today, though, we've got a Power Rankings Tuesday on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, including a breakdown of last night's Texans-Titans game. Time to believe, at least in my mind, that the Texans are for real. Remember also, if you want to win this week's Madden, just make sure you, if you're making any Amazon purchases, you're clicking through the banner ads over on the homepage at rostucker.com when you scroll down. Other than that, the keg is kicked and we are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.